Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome to UFC on what? I just did. That's the start. It's perfect. It couldn't be better. Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Today, we'll be joined shortly by Randy Brown. We also have Brandon Royval. It's not been on in quite a while. But I got to say, before we bring in Randy, who is an old friend, that Marlon Vera, wow. What an incredible fight against Rob Font. And Font, you know, again, even though he looked pretty bloodied up at the end, Matt. What did you think? I mean, his stock did not go down at all.
His stock did not go down. It was
incredible.
What's really crazy is how crisp Rob Font's hands looked. And there's nothing crazy about that. His hands always look good. But he was accurate, and he was throwing punches and bunches, and he was all over Chito Vera. But and it's funny because I said it out loud. I was thinking it exactly when John Ennick said it. And he's saying, but, you know, Chito Vera seems unfazed. He seemed unfazed with everything that was getting thrown at him. He almost looked unconcerned and very patient, very calculated, rolling with punches. He had a very high guard. Like, you'd probably like that. Like, his hands would come together.
Yeah.
And the punches would like glance off. He'd roll with. And so it's like, it's like, man, you're like, wow, Rob's getting the better of him. But then to his five punches, to Cheeto's one or his spinning kick, it would just do more damage. So then,
right?
It's not the same thing at all. But it's one of those things where there's a famous boxing match with Julio Cesar Chavez versus I think Meldrick Taylor.
Yeah, Richard Steele was the ref.
And you're like, man, Meldrick Taylor looks like he's winning this whole thing. But when you'd watch that, you'd see the shot that Julio Cesar Chavez would get in, and they were punishing. So by that 15, I don't know if there was 15 rounds back then.
12 or 15, I don't know.
It was something, this is ages ago. And all of a sudden, you see the effect of, you're like, wait a second. That one's got he has the more volume out there. Why is his face looking like that? And that's what I felt like in this fight.
Well, that fight was stopped, Matt. Do you remember that fight was stopped? That was going to be Chavez's first loss. He was going to lose that fight. And that fight was stopped in the final round with like 2 seconds left. It was a terrible fucking criminal stoppage.
Richard Steele stands by that stoppage. That was
Of course he does. Of course.
Well, he says that when he's seen a guy that had enough, he's had enough. And the repercussions of that fight for Meldrick Taylor.
Yeah. Well, probably a whole career. But yeah, I was so annoyed at that, though.
I don't think he's ever been right since. I mean,
no.
But But back to this, that's what it felt like with this fight with Rob Font and Marlon Chito Vera. Because all of a sudden you're like, wow, how did his face get so messed up? And then you're looking and you're seeing an elbow here, a straight right there, a left hook here. And, you know, and even that second round when you're like, oh man, Rob Font's looking amazing. And then for Chito to, I believe it was a left hook. And then he jumped on. The way that fight, that round ended, he stole that round.
Right.
And then he went on to just go on a tear, and he was getting better as the fight went on. And there's times when you're thinking, all right, this is about, he about had enough, Rob Font. This is about maybe over for him. And then he started the next round with some beautiful, crisp combinations. And it was just, Chito Vera was able to take it and roll with it where he took very minimum damage and was able to inflict a ton of damage.
Let's bring in Randy Brown.
Going on.
I've been seeing Randy Brown, and he's been looking crisp. He's been going with the Assassins on Tuesday night, and I was so happy he brought down Ghost Dog. I used to fuck with him. That's an old movie with Forrest Whitaker when the guy's down. But he brought, I don't know if you know, I used to call Nardu that. He brought down Sensei Nardu, who everybody knows and loves. And I'll tell you, he just, when he walks in the room, it's like he just, it's like, you know, some guys have negativity coming off of him. He's got like Zen falling out of his pocket. Yeah. Oh, is that your Zen, Nardu? I don't know. But he's fucking... So, Nardu, he's an interesting character, man. I'm so happy that you brought him down the other day, Randy.
Yeah, man, definitely. I know you guys go way back, so, you know, I had to.
Now, what do you think? You fight a guy, his first name is Chaos. Fuck, man. I mean, a guy's name... Listen, oh, here's your lawyer, Mr. Chaos. No! Chaos is made for a cage. Chaos, I think his parents had in mind, like, look, he's going to be a bad motherfucker. Let's name him Chaos. What do you think about that, Randy Brown? Does that mean anything?
Well, his name is Kalen. I think they all just call his name is Kalen.
Hey. Oh, so it was a natural nickname. Kalen, just change a couple of names and letters.
This changes everything, especially with my question. You mean the guy's name isn't Chaos?
Nah, it just sounds better, though. I would prefer Chaos. If my name was Kalen, I would definitely prefer Chaos in that moment.
In a fight, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Chaos.
I take it. But is it Kalen Chaos
or Williams? Yeah.
Now, you saw, I'm sure, his last fight against Baeza. It seemed like he was having he was getting his left calf, I think, was in pretty bad shape. The knockout was incredible that he pulled that off after having his leg battered twice so terribly. But is that something you notice when you watch a fight like that? Like, all right, there's something that could be a hole in the game.
For sure. You know, just watching my opponents in general, I'm going to see a few things, you know, I'm going to look for patterns and stuff like that, but nothing that I'm lingering on too much.
Do you find that if you get too caught up in things you see as a whole or expecting someone to do something that it kind of takes you out of the moment if you're waiting for them to do something they might not do?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The thing is, I got to go in there and execute my game plan. You know what I mean? I got to go in there and do what make him worry about what I got to do more so than worry about what he's doing. So, that's the plan.
Will you bring in somebody to train? Like, you know, again, a lot of guys, they fight Wonder Boy. It's always hard to find someone who can mimic him. Are you a guy who wants to bring in somebody who can mimic the guy you're fighting a little bit, or do you not care about that at all?
For sure. For sure. I got a few guys who not try to mimic him, guys who naturally are very similar to him.
Right, right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I got a lot of good looks for people that that fight similar, that throw a ton of volume, you know, darting forward, lots of hooks. You know what I mean? Explosive. So, yeah.
Hey, Randy, did you get any shit for your comment on the Covington and Masvidal altercation? Because I'm reading here, you said, I guess a three-piece in a soda is only cool when it happened to Leon. Why all the selective outrage? I like that.
I did get a lot of outrage, a lot of pushback on that.
Really?
My thing is, I'm just like, listen, man, not because we like somebody. This is my favorite guy. So just because he's my favorite guy, I can't all of a sudden now the rules are different for him. You know what I mean? It was a sucker move when Masvidal did it to Leon. You know what I mean? But we celebrated it. And it's a sucker move now that he did it to Colby. So I'm just saying, let's just keep it even across the board. You know what I mean? Like, MMA fans are too fickly. You know, we got to just figure out what we want and be uniformed on that.
Right. Like you're saying, if it's wrong to do to want this guy, then you shouldn't have celebrated with Leon, because Leon Edwards is by far a nicer guy than Colby Covington. I don't think, I think even Colby would agree with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, that's all I was saying, but you know, trolls and stuff like that, they misconstrue it and they run wild with it and take it to wherever they want to take it.
We should also mention that Leon, he didn't go to the police. Him and his boys, I think they were looking for, I think they got Jorge the fuck out of Dodge is what they did. Actually, yep. I know they did. They got him out of there and they got him right to that hotel, right to that airport ASAP, because, you know, Leon's a quiet guy, but I think that guy's from the fucking streets too. So I think he had I think he was going to try to return the favor. Not that I'm saying it's a good thing.
But that's natural. We got to expect that, no? Especially, I know the time you come from, you know what I mean? It's different, you know? So it's like these days, the internet thing, people, you can't cross certain lines and say certain things, you know what I mean? And feel like you can't take it to a street level and then be like, when a guy sees you in the street, talking about when you see him, what you're going to do. And then the guy sees you first and then you're like, wait, it was just entertainment. Nah, there's no rules in the street, so you can't take it there if you're not willing to continue that. You know what I mean?
And did he say, I think he had said something really personal, right? Like beyond what guys will normally say when they're fighting, about his family or something like that. I think that was what set him off.
Yeah, and not that it's right, but the thing is, you could say whatever you want to say, but you got to expect certain consequences. That's all.
Man, shit, yeah. Hey, I noticed from your background that you did not leave. You're leaving tomorrow, I suppose?
Yep. I'm out of here tomorrow morning.
Because I see your eyes. It depresses me because there's just on top of shit. And I look at that and then I look over to the side and I see my Oculus and I'm like, I should be living the life that I should be doing what Randy Brown is doing.
Are you on Twitch?
Of course he's on Twitch.
I am on Twitch. I'm on Twitch, YouTube, all of it.
Oh, you're big gaming.
I game, but I do a show, The Pro and the Bro, you know. Pre and post fight, you'll see fights. So,
oh, okay.
Who's the bro?
The bro is my brother-in-law. You know what I mean? He's on there. You know, we kick it and we joke about MMA and all that stuff and the fights and break down the fights. Have a good time.
Let me ask you both a question, because Matt, we didn't talk about this and we were going to talk about it. We just talked about the font verified. The Arlovsky, Jay Collier, this is what's got to be so fucking crazy for you guys, the judging, where it's 29-28, 2 for Arlovsky, and the Jay Collier gets 30-27 in his favor. And it's like, how do you, as a fighter, grapple with that? Like, how do you know what judges are looking for if one guy's getting 30-27 and two guys see a 29-28?
Win every round. Don't try to play a game, you know? Don't try to play the game of martial arts, the game of MMA. You know what I mean? It's easier said than done, but you got to just, the way I approach it is I just implement my techniques, and I feel if I do it correctly the way I was taught, that guy shouldn't be able to stand in front of me for 5 minutes of me implementing techniques properly. You know what I mean? Granted, he's trained to stop those things, you know, so if he's a good guy, it's going to be hard, but I think the percentage of finishes will go up. So you got to go out there and try to get the finishes. Easier said than done, but yeah, that's how I see it. You know, win every second of the fight.
Let me ask you guys something. I know the Creed movies are very popular.
Mm. Timeline doesn't work out 100%. It bugged me.
Do you like it, Randy? You know,
I do. I do like Creed.
Okay. I just didn't like the timeline. There's something about the timeline bugged me.
This is my problem. I'm not sure about the timeline. What do you mean?
It seemed like when Apollo died, his son still would have been too old to be where he was in this. I don't know why I'm thinking that. I had it worked out in my head when I was watching it.
It's a movie, Jim. It's
I know. You're 100% right. I don't know why I care. Like, what's the matter with me?
There was no moments in that movie that... Do you remember in Rocky II when Adrian came out of the coma and then she said, you just have to do one thing for me? He's like, what is that? And she said, come here, come a little closer. He leans in and she says, win.
Yes.
But also the chime goes, ding.
Yeah.
And then you see Mickey goes, what are we waiting for? And then yeah. I'm like, oh shit, my nipples are hot. I want to fucking run. I want to run right now. I get so fucking crazy. I'm about to fall over.
Yeah. That's how I felt when Paulie threw the turkey out the window. Oh.
Jimmy, that's first of all, you shouldn't get happy about that. Adrian worked hard on that fucking turkey.
I know. He tossed it out the window.
But it's Christmas here. You want the bird?
Yeah.
Go to the alley, get the bird. So rude. Yeah. You prick. Paulie is the worst part of all the movies because what a, I mean, Rocky, fuck, he's such a good guy. Why is he hanging out with that fucking, I would get away from the.
Yeah, get away from the point.
The point is there was no moments in Creed like that point, that moment when Adrian asked him to win.
That's fair. Original Rocky is a better movie.
Yeah, yeah. I would say the first two Rockies were, and even I liked Mr. T in the third one. I enjoyed Mr. T. I hated his name, but I liked him as a character, and I liked how he played. I hated the name Clubber. Rocky's terrible at naming things, but I did love him in that movie.
I thought that was great.
Yeah, I enjoyed him a lot too. Now, Randy, do you like, you do this podcast, do you ever think of commentating? Has it ever been something that you kind of wanted to do, or is it something you've ever been inclined to do, or doing some desk work maybe after fights?
I've thought about it. For sure. You know, if I ever had the opportunity, I would definitely try. See if I'm good, enough.
You know, it seems hard to do, right? It seemed like everyone thinks they can do it until you actually watch people do it. It's like, no, that's not easy to do at all.
100%. Well, you can tell it's not easy.
Everybody thinks they can do it, Jimmy. I can't do it.
No, but I mean, when it's like we watch something, but just talk about the fights and we're like, yeah, oh yeah, I could talk. But it's the level of expertise, I'm always more impressed with the anticipation of what someone is trying to do and explaining in jujitsu what someone needs to do to further it to the next position. Like there's just so much intricate details. You really need to know what you're talking about in a way different way.
Absolutely. I guess that just comes from the experience though of doing the thing. Once you do the thing, right? Matt will tell you it's easier to talk about it once you do the thing. You know what I mean? But the thing about commentating is for me it's the timing, you know what I mean? And the dynamics that you have to have between all the other guys there and their opinions and stuff like that. You got to kind of be mindful and play towards, you know, their strong suits and stuff like that. So I know it's deeper than just talking about what you like.
I always feel bad for John Anik when he goes in, because he has to, his job is to kind of do some of the plugs and the, you know, and he'll go into something like, and this is sponsored by Budweiser. And then there's a fucking knockout in the middle of it. And he has to finish the plug while there's a knockout. I always feel bad for him when that happens.
Right, everybody just screaming.
Yeah, but he's yelling and he's got to finish the plug. Poor John.
He's fantastic at it, John.
Amazing, but it's hard to do at least in baseball or in football, you can do it during a 30-second timeout or in baseball in between pitches. But in MMA, during the fight, anything can happen that ends the fight, you know, with zero warning.
Now, wait, I get it with the Twitch. You play your video games and stuff. What goes on with your YouTube channel? You have a YouTube channel?
Yeah, I have a YouTube channel.
What is that? Is there a certain programming guide in there, or is it just you put that thing on and
it's just blog. It's raw. It's you get an opportunity to just see behind the scenes of my camp. You know what I mean? The things that I'm doing. We don't give too much, you know, but just places I visit, the work that we do, cardio, just, and you also get to see behind the scenes prior to the fight. You know, prior to the fight, you know, I sit down, I talk to the camera, you know, you get to see that whole backstage process. I go live on Twitch and YouTube at the weigh-ins, you know, and you just really get to see what the process is like prior to the fight, all the way up until I'm walking out, you know. So yeah, it's a cool in-depth thing. So anybody out there, go subscribe to Root Boy TV, you know.
What cardio do you hate the most? If you had to pick a form of cardio that you dread the most?
Two of them. Aerodyne. Those 2010s.
What are those?
20-second all out, everything you got, 10-second rest. 20 seconds all out today. We do that for 3 5-minute rounds.
That's running?
Horrendous. No, Aerodyne on the bike with the arms.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, those are terrible. And then we got something called a gauntlet, right? The gauntlet is basically I basically get jumped for about 5 rounds.
Oh, you have different guys coming in?
Yeah, I'm basically getting jumped, you know. So I'm in, another guy comes in, you know, I do a few rounds with him, then another guy comes in. And then after maybe about 5 rounds or so, we do positional training. So someone may be on my back, or someone may be have me in side control, or some just different positional stuff. And then at the end of it, it's about a 45-minute an event, I call it, right? And then after, we do conditioning where I got to hold on to this rope. And they're holding my legs, and I got to hold this rope for 60 seconds, sometimes 2 minutes. And I can't let my butt hit the ground. I just burn my arms out, and I just got to hold. So, yeah.
Oh, that sucks. So you're holding a rope kind of almost like your legs are like raised almost like you're like the letter L, and they're holding your legs.
No, more like a straight line because I can't drop my hips. Can't drop my hips. So my hips have to stay up. Yeah, it's terrible.
Oh, fuck that. I would hate that. Yeah. Man,
lots of throwing up in the past doing that.
Oh, you puked doing it?
Absolutely.
Were you able to get off the mat in time or did you just puke on the mat?
I just puked on the mat.
You did?
And they just cleaned it up and picked me up and I had to keep going.
Yeah, I guess I've seen it before.
You just gotta keep going. Yeah.
You don't get the day off. You don't get to go home and relax.
Yeah, definitely. After that, you know, and then I get Sunday to chill.
Oh, okay. That's your day off.
But it's rough. It's rough, man.
Yeah, Matt, I'm always interested in what guys hate in training because my basic little workouts that I do just to prevent getting any fatter than I've gotten in the pandemic, I'm amazed that guys are able to push through that. Like just as a person, the ability to push through that is, you know, it's a different breed of person. I can't do it.
Absolutely, man. The thing is, I like to tell people I've been places that not only 1% of man have ever been. You know, there's places that you can take your body and push your body to that people have no idea, you know, and you'd be surprised what your body's capable of. I've broken down some barriers that I thought that it would be impossible for me to continue to do this, you know, and nope, you break through, your body heals up right after and, you know, you're better for it afterwards. So, yeah.
Now, when you mean heal up, do you mean in the moment do more or do you mean the next day or do you mean after a fight?
No. I mean like after, like the next day, you'll recover. You'll be okay. You can get through it. You know, it's a point where it's not about your body anymore. You know, it's about your mind. You know, the body is, you're numb. Everything hurts. You're gassed. But your mind is where you got to continue to tell your mind, like, I have to keep going. I have to keep pushing. And you're not dragging along. Like you're going, you know, you're forcing yourself to go. But it's just in a constant state of pain that it hurts. It hurts.
I like what you said. It reminded me when you said with the numb thing. You're Jamaican, no?
Yeah.
I had my buddy, you know, Pete Lawson, black belt, Jamaican Pete.
I do. Shout out to Pete. Pete is the reason that I even was training at Henzo's.
Get out of here.
Yep.
Well, listen, back in the day, I know him a long time, right? And he goes, look. He goes, I don't know why I'm thinking this. He's a funny guy. He goes, hey, man, if you want to really last with a girl, I'll give you this little Jamaican stone. And you rub this, you wet it a little bit, you rub it on your cock. And you rub it on the fucking top. Like you turn your shaft up and you do it the long way.
When he gave it was poison ivy.
Yeah, can you imagine?
You put that thing on there. He's like, dude, you'll be solid. You go all night. I remember I did that one time. And the girl's like, yeah, I feel a little numb down there.
Oh, damn. You're supposed to do it. You're supposed to do it like, you know, give it some time so that she doesn't feel it, you know?
I didn't get the memo. So Jamaican Pete, you know.
Hey, Matt, did you have your own rock or did you borrow his?
I told him I'll give his back on Monday. I just had to get, but anyway, I don't know how we segued into that. Well, I mean, you're Jamaican. We were talking about numbness.
Talk about Pete. Yeah, it's fair.
Did you ever hear about that stone? You know what I'm talking about?
Yep, I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know. Does it work, Randy, or no?
It does. It does work. I've never tried it, but it's a known fact that it works.
Really? Okay.
Hey, man. I had fun regardless.
Yeah, I wouldn't want the numbing, though. I wouldn't be able to if I was numb.
No, it wouldn't numb you. It would more. I think she would have that effect. You don't get the numbing effect.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because with the placement of it. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll just take a blue pill. That's all I need. A little blue pill. Chew it up.
This is back in the day before I became a master of the whole cack pill thing.
And what do you think, Randy, the rest of the division too? What do you think? Usman Edwards is what everybody is saying. That's a very interesting fight. I think Kamaru looks almost unbeatable at this point. Of course, no one's unbeatable. What do you think about that matchup?
Ooh, I love that matchup. I believe they fought before in the past.
Yeah.
I think Usman grinded him out, right?
Yeah.
But since then, the evolution of Leon Edwards has been amazing to watch. You know, the skill set. Whenever you see this guy shows up to fight, I love his ability on the feet. You know, I love his stand. I love the way he puts it together. But Usman is the guy right now. Usman is the guy, and I don't see anybody in the immediate top five right now that can win. Maybe some guys that are outside later on as they work their way in. But right now, it's hard, you know. But I like Leon in this fight. I think Leon has a good chance on the feet, but in the wrestling exchanges, I think he loses those wrestling exchanges, in my opinion, but we'll see. You know, I'm looking forward to it.
I'm sure you must have watched Khamzat versus Gilbert Burns.
Yep.
Thoughts?
That was fire. That was fire, man. That was fire. It showed, for me, it showed that Khamzat is human. It showed that that we always knew he was good. Everyone knew that. We knew he was a great fighter, sure, even. But we didn't know where on the spectrum of being good did he fall, right? So yeah. I think that Burns went out and showed us, okay, this is where he's at, you know, on the spectrum of being good. So he proved a lot of people right. So shout out to both of them.
Yeah, he did look human in that fight. And he also, and it's also good for him too, to go the distance and not just, you know, he can get out of the first round and he can and he can grind out a tough decision against a guy who's really experienced and a really good fighter. So yeah, I think you're right that even though he looks human, I still think it was good for him to show people that he can win a decision.
Absolutely.
Hey, Jimmy, yes, I've been told I'm on the spectrum, but I think that's something different.
Yes, it is. I disagree with that.
Jimmy, yes. I think you said it, no?
I know you are the spectrum. I don't think you're on it.
Man.
All right, Randy.
Randy Brown, it's good talking to you again, man. Good luck against Chaos, and good talking to you, man.
Randy, man, we'll be watching, buddy.
Yeah.
Let's take a limb. Bring a limb home.
Absolutely. You already know what it is.
Can't wait, brother.
See you soon, Randy, all right?
Yes, sir. Thank you guys for having me.
UFC Unfiltered is brought to you by Neds, the official wagering partner of the UFC in Australia. Aussie fight fans, keep an eye out for this weekend's UFC pay-per-view event as Neds offers a split decision return. This means if you place a head-to-head bet on any main card fight and your pick loses by split decision, Neds will pay you out as a winner. Plus, you can pump up your odds with a UFC multi simply by combining your favorite markets across all fights on the card. The action doesn't stop with UFC. Neds has everything you need to take it to the Neds level, regardless of what you bet on. For those sports punters, Neds Same Game Multi is now available on more sports than ever before. And for the racing fanatics, Neds Blended is available on all three racing codes. Blended lets you pick multiple runners to win in the same race at special blended odds. It's never been easier for you to be paid out as a winner. Look, whatever you bet on, take it to the Neds level. UFC markets exclude South Australian residents. Split decision return eligible on first $250 staked. Minimum blended odds are $1.10. Terms and conditions apply. Are available on the Neds website. Remember to always gamble responsibly. Please call 1-800-858-858. You put in the work training at the gym, on the court, at the track, wherever you go. You push your body to the limit. Now maximize your results. Discover how to unlock your inner champion with Thorne's high-performance sports nutrition line. With the most comprehensive line of NSF certified for sport products on the market, Thorne is the unquestioned leader in both quality and innovation in sports nutrition. With pre-built fitness bundles like Thorne's training bundle, you can jumpstart your training and fitness routines and help take your performance to the next level. Don't trust your body to anything else. Choose the supplement brand with the extensive third-party testing and the highest level of certification recognized in pro sports. Choose Thorne, the official sports performance nutrition partner of the UFC. Visit Thorne.com and use the promo code UFC10. That's T-E-N for 10% off. That's promo code UFC10 and you get 10% off. And Matt and I get the credit, and that's all that matters.
There's Brandon.
There he is.
What are you guys up to?
How are you, man?
We haven't talked in a hot minute, man.
Yeah, I fucking fell asleep to the Abu Dhabi one. At Abu Dhabi, I could not ever get my timing down. So when we went to go be after the Kai Car France fight, my ass slept through the whole entire meeting. So I've been feeling sorry for about a year and a half now.
Oh, shoot, man. Well, dude, it's good to talk to you again. Brandon, what you been up to, man?
Nothing, man. Just getting ready for this next fight. What about you guys?
I had a question for you. I don't know if we've asked you this or not. In the Moreno fight, when your shoulder popped out and they stopped it with like 1 or 2 seconds left, Were you, and again, this is just DC, I think, and Joe were saying it, that if they had popped that back in between rounds, you might have been able to continue? Or were you hurt too bad where you would not have been able to continue?
No, you could see it. You could see it because it was such a reoccurring problem since before I got into the UFC. And up until that, like, you know, I was like not even really training for any of those fights because like I couldn't grapple because my shoulder would pop out constantly, man. And it was one of those things like when it happened, I was trying to pop it in myself. I knew how to do it. Like I knew how to pop it in myself. But it was one of those I could definitely went and continue that fight. All the fights before that, the Tim Elliott and the Kai Kara France fight, like I couldn't even really train too much. And like it was one of those things that like it would pop out constantly. It doesn't hurt until the next day, though. Like the next day it sucks, but like I'm running on pure adrenaline for that next 15 minutes after I pop it out always, though.
So when something like that happens, how frustrating is it where you know that in between rounds you might have been able to, I mean, again, it's part of it and there's nothing, you know, you can do, but that's probably one I'm sure you'd love to get another shot at.
Yeah, for sure. And I knew when I was going into that fight and even that Kai Kara France and Tim Elliott fight, like I was playing with danger there. Like I knew that I was like pretty close to like, I needed that surgery. My shoulder was like, it was pretty much popping up a lot, you know, like if I threw a jab and someone else threw a jab, it would dislocate. So I knew I was playing with fire, but I was like, I was on such a little hot streak that I was like, fuck it, let's just risk another fight camp. And like the Moreno was a quick turnaround. Like I only had 3 weeks, 4 weeks between that Kai Kara France fight and that Moreno fight. So it was like, it was such a quick turnaround that I was like, I could kill two birds with one stone by doing one training camp and then just getting two big fights over with. And by that time I'll be ready for a title fight, you know? So it was just like, fuck it, I might as well risk it, you know?
What happened with the surgery now? What exactly did they do?
So I had like a really complicated surgery. It was called the ladder J surgery, where it's like all up and down. So what they did, I had torn labrum, but they didn't do the normal labrum thing because my bone in front was so chipped that it would just slide out. So like if they would have just did a normal labrum surgery, it would have just been like them just sewing it, but the bone still would have been a little bit of an issue. What they did is they removed a piece of my collarbone, put it right there as a bridge. So so you know how this is like a bowl? It was like a plate. So it was just sliding out. So they moved it. So there's like a little bit of an edge right there. So it won't just slide out anymore. So I had like a complicated one.
Isn't it crazy that somebody figured that out? A fucking doctor figured out how to do that, how to take a piece of the collarbone and fix it so that doesn't happen.
Yeah. You know, and I have the only doctor, like there's probably like only a few doctors in America that can do it. And luckily I like in Colorado there, the dude was like pretty much like maybe 10 minutes away from me. So it worked out that I just had one of those doctors that could do it. And he's like, you know what? I normally wouldn't do this surgery for a normal person. He goes, you're an athlete. And he goes, and what you do is a lot of like bringing this back. And he's like, we need you to like make sure it doesn't pop out again and all that stuff. And he goes, this is the final solution to it kind of thing.
How has it felt since with the training?
Oh, it's felt amazing, man. I can throw jabs again. I'm not worried about, before that Moreno, pretty much up until the Pantoja fight, it was like the first time I could grapple in like a year and a half, 2 years. So I wasn't really doing jujitsu or anything. I was just drilling a little bit. Yeah. No wrestling at all. There's a couple of times in like the Tim Elliott fight where I went to go dig an underhook. In the middle of digging it, I was like, oh, I can't do that. Because I was like, if I dig that underhook, my shoulder might dislocate. I was playing with fire and I just like, you know, you're not gonna turn down a UFC fight to get their surgery down. So it was like, originally I was like, I'm in the UFC. So I was like, I took this fight and then they gave me Kai Kara France, who was like number 7. And I was like, I'm not going to turn that down. And then right after that, they gave me the number 1 contender. And I was just like running with the hot streak. And I was like, fuck it, man. We're just going to try to risk it. So I was pressing my luck, you know?
When did you get the surgery? Because the recovery time, looking at when you fought, November of 20, August of 21, January 15th, there was layoffs, but not a crazy, crazy layoff. What was the recovery time?
Yeah. It's supposed to be 6 months. I actually did, I got it in late January. So I got it pretty much like, I think like the 27th of January. And then I don't remember when I fought Pantoja, but it was also one of those things that is like, I kind of rushed that surgery and rushed that fight to just kind of get back into the, to get back in the swing of things. But that was also a fight where I didn't grapple at all before that too, because it just got out of surgery and like I was kind of playing with too much fire right there. So I don't know. It was a lot of learning lessons in between then and then, you know?
Yeah, you probably didn't give it a little more time. That was, I think, in 8 months total from the surgery to the actual fight.
Yeah, exactly. I had 2 months to train for that fight. Yep.
How'd you get the nickname Raw Dog?
Are you asking me or Brandon?
No, I'm asking Brandon, you pervert. Go ahead, Brandon.
Just you earn these nicknames through just Denver, you know? No, I'm just kidding. It was a drunken dude in the crowd. It was a drunken dude in the crowd was yelling, "Raw dog him, raw dog him." And then we just made a joke. This is like when I was an amateur. So we made a couple of jokes and eventually I was like, fuck it. Let's see. Cause I fought for a World Series of Fighting with Gaethje as the main event too. And it was my first, I knocked out some dude. It was my first knockout. And I remember I was like, and then I was like, let's see if they say it on TV. So I just put the nickname just to see if they did it. That I got a knockout and then they put me on the TV portion and said it on the TV portion. And it was just like, I was like, maybe it's like a luck thing. So I just started to run with it afterwards. And then I tried to, like, later on in my career, I was like, if I ever want to get to the UFC, I gotta get rid of Raw Dog. Like, there's no way that. I told the LFA announcer, I was like, can we like drop this nickname? And I swear to God, right before that, right before I walked out or right when he was announcing my name, he like leaned into it extra hard. And I was like, yeah, I'm not getting rid of this nickname anytime soon, you know?
Now, are you a superstitious guy? Every athlete has a little superstition. How superstitious are you?
I like watching certain movies and stuff before I fight. Like I like watching like Bruce Lee movies before fights. I like watching like Anderson Silva highlight reels and then this week I always go to my dad's hockey. My dad plays hockey and I always go to his hockey game before like the week of the fight. And I always try to attend one of my friend's concert. But those are like, I guess that's a lot of superstitions, but it's just, I think it's more rituals. It's like little rituals. I don't think it makes a difference or anything, but it's just something I like to do.
Where does your dad play hockey?
Yeah, he plays, it's like an old man, like beer league, but it's not like professional or anything. It's just an old man beer league. But honestly, every time I go there, I don't know if he normally scores or not, but like, I think he always chings one in every time I go there. So that's a nice little thing that happens every time I show up to one of his games before. He always scores a goal and makes sure to show out. So,
were you ever inclined to play hockey?
Yeah. I wish I was a professional hockey player, man. That would be the real cool job right there. I'm just only 5'9", you know, I'm 5'9" and scrawny. And that's not like a sport that you can really like last in. And then on top of that, I don't think many Americans get drafted in hockey that much, especially from Colorado. I don't even know anybody from Colorado that went and became professional hockey player. So it's kind of a rare thing in Colorado, but it's definitely in America. It's like, it's not as much of a prevalent sport as in Canada or in like up in Michigan and stuff like the cool upper states by Canada.
Did you ever see that movie Miracle with Kurt Russell?
Oh, I love that movie. Yeah.
Is that about the 1980 Winter Olympics?
Yeah, I believe
Miracle on Ice.
What'd you say? It's called the with Kurt Russell?
Yeah.
It's called Mystery. Mystery.
Mystery? Oh. What is it called?
Mystery. It's about a team in Mystery, Alaska, and then they go play it's that one. They play pond hockey, right?
Shit, man. What is Miracle? What the fuck am I doing?
Miracle is the one about when the Americans beat the Russians, when the Russians were like undefeated. Years. Yeah.
That's another hockey thing, right?
Yeah. It's two hockey movies, but both of them are sweet. And I'm a huge hockey fan, so I love those little
I meant Escape from New York with Kurt Russell.
Yeah, they play hockey with a severed head on top of the that was a really good movie. It's funny, I'm not a hockey fan, but they say going to a game is incredible. They say that you have to see it live. There's something different about seeing hockey live.
Yeah, and it's just like for me, I have like ADD, so it's super fast paced. It's like one of those fast paced sports where like I went to a football game live and it was like after every like 30 seconds, there's like a minute break. I'm like, right. I can't, you know? So it's like after that's like a 3-hour game and half of it is waiting around for them to do something. Where hockey is just so fast paced. You get to watch a fight every once in a while and
yeah,
it's fun. It's more fun to me to watch.
How about soccer? Because I mean, soccer moves for a long time without any breaks.
I don't think I've ever sat down and watched a soccer game in my life, which is crazy.
It seems awful. But I mean, I know that there's a lot of running back and forth. It seems like at least it moves. But yeah, I can't get through one either. I think it's terrible.
Yeah. I went live to a basketball game and that kind of seems like that's way more fun to watch live than on TV. But, you know, I'm not really into that either.
Shit, I gotta lie. I don't watch any fucking sports.
Fighting takes over once you're in there. It's like nothing's cooler than that. Like,
hey, I'll tell you, I don't watch any sports, but damn, do I love when there's a UFC on.
Yeah.
This weekend, we're going to be watching you.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I can't wait.
Hell yeah. I'm trying to win some fans over. Because I've never fought in front of a crowd. I've only been fighting during these quarantine times. So it's like, this is an opportunity for me to like, one, live out a dream because I've never actually walked out in front of a crowd like that.
What? Never?
Never. I mean, like in Denver, I walked out in front of like crowd that was like my own, but like in the UFC, I haven't been in front of a crowd ever. I've only been in the quarantine type of arena, right. So I get to like really like this is like my UFC debut right now, so I'm so excited. I'm nervous. I'm all the above, man.
When did you learn your jiu-jitsu? Who taught you jiu-jitsu?
Yeah, I, I started under a guy named Brad Gum, but I got my black belt under a busy Mario Correa. He's from Brazil. Just a slick dude off his back. So I learned a lot from him. And then I have Coach Scott Miller, who's really funky off his back too. So it's I stole all my style from those two guys.
I remember seeing you in Abu Dhabi versus Tim Elliott. That's when it was, right?
I think Abu Dhabi was Kai Car France.
Was it? I was there for one of them live, but I was there for the Tim Elliott one. I remember watching that and being like, because Tim Elliott's got such funky scrambles and I like his jujitsu. And then I'm like, yo, where the fuck did this kid come from? I remember the stuff we were doing. Like, holy shit. It was so high level, man. Because I love when a jujitsu guy just comes out of the woodwork like that, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
So I was very impressed you're saying you weren't even grappling that much for that.
No, I couldn't grapple for that whole entire camp. For pretty much up to like a couple, like maybe 4 months before that is when I started having real bad shoulder problems, like where it pop out every time I grapple. I think the original, like the original time where I like, kind of fucked it over the most, where I went for an Imanari on someone and he sprawled all hard and it just like dislocated. And from there on out, it was just like, I could maybe flow around a little bit and then like make the motions. But for the most part, I was just doing like very light sparring up until then. Just like a lot of four counts and just light drilling and a lot of kicks.
Do you have any fear? And this, I mean, I'm sure it happens to guys a lot, but of being so pumped for this, you know, you always hear about guys having adrenaline dumps or putting too much. And since you're saying it feels like your first UFC fight, have you, I guess, kind of told yourself like, you know, you just take it, don't let the crowd change the way you do things.
Yeah, I want the crowd to change. I mean, I just want to be like that amateur dude that runs across the cage and just fights like he's never been in front of a crowd. Cause it's the truth, man. I just want to enjoy it. And, I trust my cardio, man. I put a lot of work in cardio. I live in elevation and a mile high.
All right.
And, you know, I train hard and I trust my cardio. I think that if anybody's going to get tired, if I'm getting tired, he's gassed for sure. So I in my heart of hearts believe that. And I want that. I kind of want to go out there and just have that like amateur feeling of just go out there, blow my wad and just give it everything get in and out of there. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know, man. I just want to enjoy the moment. It's just a really good opportunity to one, collect 50 G's and then also just like live out a dream, man. More importantly, it's just, I've wanted this forever. You know, you never dream when you're like a little kid going to the UFC and just walking out in front of 10 people, you know?
Trent, I guess living in elevation really does make a difference. I mean, just having performed in Denver and Vail and stuff, it takes sometimes a day or two just to be able to take your deep breaths when you're walking up a hill. Like you're really just walking, you can kind of feel the difference. I imagine living in that environment. And how long does it take before that effect, like if you train at elevation, then you come back down to normal, you know, whatever, to ground level or sea level. How long does that effect last?
I have no clue, man. I've never actually trained. Like I've only trained in Denver. So it's like, I don't go too much outside there. And it's like, if I go anywhere, it's probably like, I guess I spent a month in Abu Dhabi, but like I fought the first week. And then after that, like I pretty much only spend like a week basis somewhere. So it's, I don't really have too much.
Right.
Even like on our fight team, I'm like known as the cardio king, like in our fight team. And like, as far as like our, like everybody I've known is like, they're like, Brandon has the best cardio on our team and all that. So it's like, it's just kind of like a stigma. It's something I've really prided myself off of too, is just having good cardio. And it's, I love running. I love all that stuff. So it's something that like, I know that if it goes to the deep waters and I'm feeling it, that he has to be feeling it.
Shit, man. That's a major weapon in an arsenal right there.
Yeah, for sure. And it's also good to just have that belief in yourself too. It's like, I'm not afraid to go three rounds and I'm not afraid to push the pace that whole entire first, second and third round too, you know, is where I feel like people are like so worried about going three rounds. They kind of coast a little bit where it's like, I don't really give a shit about coasting. It's like, go out there, I'm going to go burn both of us from both sides. And it's like, let's see who comes out unscathed in that fire. You know what I'm saying? Because I guarantee that I'm going to have a little bit less burns than some of these dudes.
Hey, Brandon. Besides training, besides working on your killer cardio, what's something else you like to do? Give us a hobby.
So now that it's summer, man, I'm huge into spike ball, man. I like spike ball. I like volleyball. Yeah, it's weird. I wish volleyball was like a thing for guys because like I have a lot of fun. Besides being like 5'9 and not being that good, it's like I really enjoy playing volleyball. It's like one of those weird, stupid games that like I enjoy. But I'm trying like a bunch of things. I've been trying to like a weird like Sudoku puzzles and stuff. I'm trying to get better as a person. And like little puzzle games and just also train my mind a little bit differently. But like, I guess non-athletically is I've been working with some kids. I guess that's even athletic too. Pretty much everything I do is around athletics.
That's cool. That's cool. The volleyball, you said the spike ball. Is it the same thing?
Spike ball is like a little circle thing. Like a little circle thing you leave on the ground and you smack the ball like into it. It's like volleyball, but you smack it. It's like a new 2020 type of game. I don't know. You see all the new beach kids doing it. But yeah, we try to steal that at Factory X. I play with all my teammates and all that.
I think Jimmy was going to try pickleball one time. Weren't you, Jimmy?
What's pickleball?
Oh, maybe that wasn't you.
No, I never heard of it.
Did you ever hear of pickleball?
Yeah, I've heard of pickleball. I actually seen someone playing it the other day. It's like that, like kind of tennis or whatever.
Yeah, it's like a tennis, almost like a between tennis and handball. It's got like a big paddle. It's fucking weird, man. I don't know. All I do is jujitsu. I can't do this running.
I've never even heard of pickleball, man.
Oh, Jimmy, I think you could be the pickleball champion.
I don't think so.
Chip, maybe Chip isn't can.
Do you ever think that as like if you invested all your energy into a sport that like nobody really cares about, like you could probably be the best in the world at it?
I mean,
anybody who invests their time in ping pong or some shit like that.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, dude, it's so much cooler being like a fighting champion than a pickleball champion. But now, right now, Jimmy's gonna look and do that research. And Jimmy, pickleball is a good way of staying in shape.
I'll tell you what I think. Why didn't I invest in Bitcoin when it was 30 cents a fucking coin? That's what I think. I'm never at the forefront.
No.
I think that shit too is like, if I could go back in time, I would put all my money in Bitcoin a long time ago when someone told me to do it. I'm like, that sounds like bullshit.
Oh, someone told you a long time ago? Yeah.
Yeah. My cousin was like all over it. My cousin was all over Bitcoin when we were like right when it started up. He's like, yeah, this is the future. I'm like, oh yeah, sounds like it.
And the volleyball, is it like leagues or anything? Or what, do you just play with your friends?
I play with my friends and my mainly the Factory XT. Pretty much what I spend most of my time with is them, and I play versus them. They're a nice competitive group of guys, so I can go against them at all times.
And I like that you keep pointing out that you're 5'9". That's not short. Stop saying like it's short.
It's not short, but it's not tall enough to be a hockey player, and then it's also not tall enough to like I'm not athletic, I guess. I'm 5'9" and scrawny. I don't have that like spring in my step, you know? They have us like do jumping at our strength and conditioning. They have us like do jumping, and I'm like, can you guys not embarrass me? I can only clear the ground like 6 inches, you know?
I feel your pain. I'm only 5'6". That's why I brought the whole thing up. It's not you, it's me, Brandon.
You got explosiveness though. I don't have that. I'm 5'130 pounds. Like that's an issue.
Let me tell you something. You are entertaining as F. I think of that. I want to go watch that Tim Elliott fight again. I'll tell you, Jimmy. There's no slowing down with this guy. There's no slowing down with Brandon Royval. You understand?
Yeah, I just think what a nightmare. Like, guys must hate guys like you. It's just when you know someone's cardio is that good. It's like Marab, same thing. You know that what Frankie Edgar back in the day, like whatever they're doing to you in the first round, they're going to be doing it to you in the fifth round or the third round. And it's just, that has to be very, very disheartening for someone.
Yeah. That's what I like to do. Just like bringing a high pace and just like swimming with them. And then just all of a sudden, like I'm just drowning them, you know, and just like feeling that it's like, okay, we'll start off strong. And then we'll just keep that pace the whole entire time. And while they slow down, I'm just staying at that same pace and just eventually just drowning them, you know?
Well, Brandon, good luck against Matt. This is obviously going to be a good fight. Matt Schnell's a good fighter. You know that. And you're on a great card. And I would love to see you get another shot back at Moreno. I really wanted that fight to go longer. I mean, obviously you did too. That would be nice.
Yeah, that'd be the ideal landscape is if I can go back and I don't know who's getting the title shot next. They haven't really shaped out the flyweight division, but if I can go put a statement on Matt Schnell, then I'm going to be good to fight Moreno or maybe Kai Kara France again if that is. But I just want to get back into that title shot picture after this fight.
Who did he just fight? Who did France just fight? He just fought someone.
Was Askarov like 3 weeks ago.
I thought he fought recently. Okay, my memory is going.
All right, Brandon, man. Listen, dude, we always love watching you, man.
Yeah.
We're gonna be watching this weekend.
Hell yeah, man. I hope I can make more fans out of this. Appreciate you guys. Appreciate your time. And thank you.
Yeah. Enjoy the walkout, man. Enjoy that fight in front of the fans. I'm happy for you.
Great. Embrace every one of these moments, man. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
All right, buddy. Good luck.
Road dog.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in LA, debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Jimmy, you want to talk about the fights a little bit?
Sure.
I'll tell you, that Alexandria Romanov, he's still undefeated, dude.
Chase Sherman, yeah. He looked Romanov. But didn't Chase took that on kind of a fast turnaround, right?
Took that for, yeah, he also took a ride or two. He took a fucking, he was like a rocket ship.
What'd they say? It was a 5-point slam the way he threw him down?
That was all, though. Give him all the points.
Yeah.
Fucking big. Dude, he picked him up and he threw him sideways.
Yeah, he did. That was almost on his neck. Almost on his neck, he dropped him.
Dude, he's fucking crazy.
I think he's 16-0, right, Matt? 16-0.
Yes, and he's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
that Nathan Levy versus Mike Breeden was a fun fight. That was very the Mike Breeden guy was coming back in that last round. I do like the instruction by James Krause, telling him like, look. He's like, look, fucker, you're gonna lose it. You're losing anyway. So how are you gonna? You're gonna have to try to take this guy out, or is he gonna lose worse? Like right. He gets through to his guys.
Yeah, and I like honesty in the corner too. When someone really needs a round, when someone says we need you got to get this round, you need this, because sometimes guys go, hey, you're doing great, and it's like maybe that's how that fighter responds, but I don't see how that's serving a fighter when he's clearly down 2-0.
Jimmy, sometimes I have stomach trouble in the middle of the night, and I'll be in the bathroom. Next thing you know, I'm showering in the middle of the night because I don't want to feel dirty. Then I shave my head. All right, let's get back to the fight. So
no, I'd rather hear about that. How about Joe Anderson Brito over Andre Feely? I mean, that was a we both had Feely in that fight. Very, very fast.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes that happens, man.
Sure.
Fast off of Brito.
Yeah.
And brutal.
And you were right, by the way, about Arlovski. I took Collier versus round two, and Arlovski did win versus split decision.
Yeah. Interesting fight.
Yeah, yeah, it was a very entertaining fight. I mean, it was a good fight.
And it was. And we like Jake Collier. I think we're going to see him back. But Andre Arlovski, man, he knows the game, dude. He knows the game. He's been in the fucking UFC for 20 years. He knows the damn game.
And I took Dawson, second round stoppage, but it turns out it was a round three sub. And who'd you pick in that fight against Jared Gordon?
I picked Jared Gordon. And Jared Gordon was doing well enough until he wasn't. The grappling was just and Jared's shown that he could do enough to defend on the ground, get up, and still do damage like he did in his last fight when he fought a jiu-jitsu ace, Joe.
I'll see who is Jared Gordon last fight. I don't really want to guess.
But Jared Gordon would be Joe Selecki. Thank you very much. I remember that now. Don't bother looking it up. Joe Selecki.
Okay.
And Joe Selecki started strong, getting in dominant positions. And then kind of like similar to this, but this was a little too much. I mean, I'll tell you, that Grant Dawson, what an athletic freak, man.
Yep.
Very athletic, very powerful with his takedowns, his shots were even though Jared was threatened a couple times with those guillotines, but it was just a little too much. Almost like you see it coming, but he still gets it going. That Grant,
right?
Similar to Darren Elkins, you know what they want to do, and they're still doing it. You know what I'm saying? Still getting a hold of you.
Yeah.
You know, and once you think you're out, Jimmy, pull you back in. Christoph Jocko, I thought he looked excellent versus Jared Mershart.
Mershart
had a hard time. He had a hard time just getting his game going. I'm not saying an off night for him, because that sounds disrespectful for Jocko, but it just looked like he had a hard time getting his distance and just getting his feet under him in that whole fight. Yeah. You know, and Jocko was crisp, man, and his wrestling, his takedown defense was sharp, And he was on point, man. He looked really good. And then who else? Oh, well, obviously the main event, Marlon Vera. What could we say?
Crazy how good he looked. And fight of the year so far, I think. I mean, that was just an amazing. And Rob Font's one of those guys, you know, like a Calvin Kattar. You want the guys to win because you like them. But even when they lose, they don't lose an ounce of respect, or their stock doesn't go down an inch.
He's looking so crisp.
Yeah.
With his strikes, but it's like, it's a, after you throw all that, not only was, I think all the guys would get overwhelmed, but not only was he not getting overwhelmed, it was almost like, all right, I'll get my turn to get you. And he was very patient, man. What a calculated killer that Chito Vera is.
Yeah, he really is. He's unflappable.
Dude, it makes you like think about that Sean O'Malley fight and like, you know, you can get respect for it, but look, man, he knows how to roll with shit. He knows how to weather stuff. And he's a durable, durable guy. I think part of it's because he doesn't even get hit flush. He rolls with, he has a good chin, but he'll roll through that. He'll eat one and give you, he'll eat two and give you one that's going to make up for those two.
Now, what do you think? It looks like he's going to be number five. Like once the rankings change, who do you see him going against? Who do you think his next fight is? I don't think it's right to a championship fight. I don't think he gets Aljo yet. But who do you think he fights? Does he go to five because he beat Font, or does Barab go to five and he goes to six? I guess he goes to five because he beat Rob Font.
I don't know. I don't know who's in the twos above him. Who's the last? Who's four? Who's two, three?
Well, Aljo, of course, Piotr Jan, TJ, Jose Aldo, Corey Sandhagen's four, and then Font was five. So you're going to guess.
First of all, imagine Chito versus Sandhagen. Imagine Chito versus
Marab.
I mean, put him on any one of those guys.
Yeah.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I don't want to forget that Shanna Young defeated Gina Mazzani, who we are friends with. She's friends of the show. She's very funny. She has a lot of dad jokes. Gina Mazzani. Yeah. That's Tim Elliott's fiance.
Yeah. Didn't you get her to tell one last time?
Oh, I sure did. She's great. I like her a lot. And you know what I was thinking? First of all, Shanna Young, props though. She looked great.
Yeah.
And this is what I was thinking for Gina. And it has nothing to do with, I mean, she'll bounce back. I'm not worried about that because she's with a good crowd there with obviously her fiance, Tim Elliott and James Krause in that crowd. I think she should do the UFC comedy jam. And because I think she's funny.
Yeah.
And I think that with Adam Hunter helping her, somebody tell Adam Hunter to get Gina Mazzani on that thing. Because I don't know if he has any girls on that next upcoming show. I know he's got Frankie Edgar and some
people. Yeah.
But I think he should definitely get Gina Mazzani on. Adam Hunter, people reach out to Adam Hunter, let him know that I'm saying I think he should get a hold
but
of
wait, Gina. Matt, am I crazy? The last time we talked to Tim, didn't you mention that to her? And she was like, no, I couldn't do that. Like, maybe I'm crazy. But for some reason, I think that came up.
Well,
I'm probably wrong as usual, but.
Listen, you could be crazy.
Yeah.
But it just might be a lunatic I'm looking for. Jimmy, come back. Jimmy, you love me so much.
Yes, I do.
I'm not one of your favorite people, but right underneath your favorite people, I'm
you
like,
are one of my favorite people.
Well,
that's yes. True.
Thank you, Jimmy. Jimmy, I don't know what else we have to talk about. We gave Marlon Vera his props.
We'll preview the card on Wednesday, too.
Oh, I can't wait to preview that card.
I can't either.
I can't wait to do that. You know what I mean? But what's the rest of your day like, man?
I got, Wednesday night, I'm here in New York at the Fat Black Pussycat running my hour. And then Friday, Saturday, Bridgeport, Connecticut, doing the Stress Factory. So either one of those nights, if you want to see me, that's where I'll be.
You know what's funny about that? In Jersey, the Stress Factory?
No, buddy. The Stress Factory, Bridgeport, Connecticut. He has one in Connecticut, too.
There is one in Jersey.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a great club.
You know who hit me up and who's doing that is Brian Kalin.
Oh, is he doing? Okay, good.
Brian Kalin. I wonder if he meant this weekend. That wouldn't really make sense if he told me this weekend.
Yeah.
But he told me, here he is. Yo, buddy, coming to Jersey, Stress Factory. Joey Diaz is guesting on my show all weekend.
Oh, nice.
You're available, let Henzo know, and yada, yada. And then we went back and forth. We're like, no, you. You know, we give compliments.
Yeah, yeah.
I know Brian Kalin back from the Henzo Gracie's first academy back in like 96, 97.
Oh, okay.
I know him back when he was on Mad TV. And
sure.
We've been friendly since. But
It's a good club.
If I left my house, I would go, but I don't.
Yeah, you don't go out.
I go to Sarah BJJ in Huntington.
That's where you got to be.
And then I come back here. Jimmy, what do you want to plug, my brother?
Just those things. I'm good, man. Just the Bridgeport and also New York this week and Jersey at the when the fuck am I in Jersey? Early June.
Hey, listen, we are both on Cameo.
Yep.
After this. Jimmy, love you so much and talk to you in a couple of days.
All right, my friend. I love Matt Serra. See you soon.
I love it. I'm going to take that snippet out and just.
No. Goodbye.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.